It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to see new faces with us. I'm glad that you're visiting, and we are appreciative of your presence, and we're glad that you have come together to worship God with us. It's also encouraging to see those who regularly worship here at Warfield Boulevard, and I hope that our time spent this morning in the Word of God will be beneficial and helpful to all of us. Over the past year, there were three different stories that I heard where people were trying to connect the pandemic or COVID with the Bible, and I thought that was kind of interesting. One of them was, people were saying that because of all of the bad things that were going on last year, that that's the year that Jesus was going to return. Well, that clearly didn't happen. And then I heard a story where somebody was trying to make the vaccine be the mark of the beast out of the book of Revelation. I thought that was a little bizarre. And then I heard a story where, and this is the one that I want to focus on this morning, where individuals last year, there was an increase in individuals who were going to fortune tellers and palm readers and tarot card readers for guidance and help with their problems. And so this morning, I want us to consider the question, who do we go to for help? Who do we go to for guidance? I asked Daniel if he would lead, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." Is it Jehovah that really guides us, or do we turn to other things? It reminds me of Saul, King Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 28, when he was having troubles. He said, "Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may inquire of her." And so if you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 28, we're going to look at the story of Saul who goes to this individual for help, and we want to make some applications for our lives today. Who do you go to for help and guidance? Who do I go to for help and guidance? Now, in this story that I saw, written toward the end of last year, titled "Fortune-Telling Businesses Booming During Pandemic, People Want to Have Some Hope," I don't think any of us here this morning, I don't know the private lives of all individuals, but I don't think that we're making a habit among us this morning of going to fortune tellers, but it illustrates what many people do. Rather than turning to God's Word, they turn to other things. This story says many businesses have been closing due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but fortune tellers appear to be doing quite well. So why are more and more people turning to psychics during this health crisis? In a world of uncertainties, people are looking for predictability. With the COVID and everything, I was stuck in a bubble. McKinney, resident, Pramila Patel said, this is McKinney, Texas, outside of Dallas. She finds that predictability at Soultopia. In other words, I can go to this place, to the palm reader and the fortune teller, and there's where I can get my certainty. And she's not the only one who is looking for assurance. The New York Times recently highlighted increased online traffic for horoscope and psychic consultations. Astrologers and tarot card readers have also reported an increased demand in their services. You can go over to Fort Campbell Boulevard, and you can go up and down Fort Campbell Boulevard, and you can find all the tarot card readers you want and fortune tellers and so forth. Who do we turn to for guidance and help? Who do we turn to get answers to questions? Young people, who do you turn to? I don't think there's a lot of people going to tarot card readers here this morning, but do we get our guidance from social media? Do we get our guidance from just media in general? Do we open up our Bible? We're going to see the choice that Saul made this morning and the problems associated with that. The story goes on to say that since the pandemic, it's just been an explosive amount of people coming in our stores and also through Zoom and online and also on the phone. Welch said her business has gone up over 70% since the beginning of the pandemic. It's a booming business for fortune tellers, psychic readers, and that type of thing. Because people are stressed and they are looking for answers and they're having genuine problems in their life. We're not discounting their problems. They're genuine. But who do you turn to? That's the question this morning. We need to turn to somebody when we have problems. But who? That's the question. It's a broad, broad variety of reasons, but it starts primarily with the uncertainty. But then also the fact that people are at home a lot, so that creates some issues when you're at home and we're with our family a lot. And then the uncertainty with jobs, and then people that are just maybe unfortunately going over in that despair. So fortune-telling business and that type of thing is up over 70%. Well said she's seen more young people come in for readings and that they are also attracted to products like incenses, crystals, and stones, which they believe will cleanse their space and ward off negativity. We sold a pallet of sage in the last 2 weeks. And so that and crystals, and it's all for the like things that we feel like there's this negativity. And people do have negativity in their lives, but who do you turn to for help? Patel told CBS 11 News she's had to readjust her life due to the pandemic. Readjust. I feel that people want to have some hope. It's like being forewarned, you know, something is happening and it helps you to prepare for it. With the future filled with uncertainties, both Patel and Welch say people are simply looking for comfort, company, and a spiritual connection. Again, that's great, but who are you turning to? So, this morning, I want us to consider some lessons from Saul toward the end of his life and how he goes to this woman. Some call her the witch at Endor. She's a medium. She's a necromancer. She is someone who claims to speak to the dead. And we're going to find this morning as we go down through this account that Saul is in a predicament. He's having problems. And we have problems from time to time. Our young people have problems from time to time. And that's fine. But who do you turn to for help? Issues in our marriage and raising children and how to get along with others at work and how to conduct our own personal lives. We have questions. Where do we go to for answers? In the scripture reading this morning, I asked Alan to read John chapter 10, 1 through 5. We're familiar with that passage where Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. And down there toward the end of that reading, the text says that the sheep, that's supposed to be us, the sheep hear his voice and follow him, and they will not follow the voice of strangers. Look at that in your Bible. Underscore that. They will not follow the voice of strangers. They don't know the voice of strangers. That needs to be our approach. I'm not going to listen to what's out there in the world. That advice comes a dime a dozen. I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to follow the words of Jesus Christ. And we're in a culture today where people follow everything but the words of Jesus Christ. And we have a Bible in our hands. Bibles are everywhere. It's the most sold book in the world. And yet many will not open it for help. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 1. Let's look at some lessons for our admonition this morning to encourage us to let God be our guide and not those who are in the world. It came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their host together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, "Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me in the host, thou and thy men." And David said to Achish, "Therefore thou shalt know what thy servant will do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore will I make thee keeper of my head forever." Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and encamped in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and they encamped in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of Jehovah, Jehovah answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me, or find me a woman that has a familiar spirit, or a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said unto him, Behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor. The first lesson that we want to consider this morning is that people want answers in times of trouble. That's what's been going on this past year, and that's fine. We all want that. And we do have questions in difficult times. So we find here that Saul is about to face a battle, and I need some help. And people want answers to tough questions in time of trouble, and that's great. But who do we go to? Our young people face issues from time to time. Who are you going to go to? We need to look for the right answers in the right place. And I believe looking for answers is good, but the key is to look in the right place. In John chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching his followers and he was explaining there that there were some conditions of following him that would require great sacrifice, the text says that many walked away and wouldn't follow him anymore. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, Well, will you also go away? And Peter said, To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter understood what we need to understand, and that is that we don't need to be going somewhere else. We have you. You give us the words of eternal life. But we've got to open up your word. When people are looking for answers, they turn to all kinds of wrong things. Things that hurt them, things that hurt others. They go to all the wrong sources. Well, my friends. Well, friends can mess you up. Well, my coworkers. Well, my Facebook friends or my social media friends or what so-and-so is saying in this forum or that forum. Who are we going to go to? And as I said earlier, we may not be going over on Fort Campbell Boulevard paying someone to read tarot cards for us. We may not be doing that. We may not be showing up our palm where they can read our palm. We may not be doing that. Well, we've got to be careful not to do other things that are just as damaging, where we go to other places to get the wrong advice. People want answers in times of trouble. Let's make sure that we're getting that from God's Word. A second lesson that we can learn from this passage of Scripture is that turning to condemned practices, will not help you. Saul had already put away these individuals that were not supposed to be in the land. Saul had already put them away. Verse 3, he had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards. That's what the law of Moses said to do. And now he's returning back to that very thing that he had put away. When we go to condemned practices, we're not going to help ourselves. And people out in the world do that. The lust of the flesh, Galatians 5:20, there are several things that are listed there that are wrong, and yet people will turn to that and wonder why it doesn't help them. If God condemns a practice in Scripture, and you turn to it, and I turn to it, it's not going to help us. That's why He condemned it, because it's not good for us. Well, would fornication outside of marriage, would that be okay? No, you do that, it's going to hurt you. Divorce for any cause, is that okay? No, you do that, it's going to hurt you. So, Saul turns to a practice that he knows is condemned, and it hurts him. There are things in Scripture that are condemned. In Galatians 5:20 and Revelation 9, sorcery is discussed there as a work of the flesh. And we'll talk a little bit in a minute about the condemned practice in the Old Testament of the wizards and the familiar spirits and those who claim to speak to the dead. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But that's a condemned practice. And here we have a king turning to that very thing. And yet people do that today. There are things that are condemned. Let's stay away from those things. They're not going to help us. Lying, fornication, abortion, stealing, sexual immorality, whatever. It's condemned for a reason. Because it doesn't do us any good. And it's a great way to remember that. Stay away from what God forbids. It only leads to problems. The love of money, not money, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And Paul says some have gone after that and they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When we do something that is condemned, it's going to hurt us. Stay away from that. There's another lesson that comes to my mind, and that is that when you're departed from God, He will depart from you and me. We don't have time this morning to trace the downfall of Saul. Early in his career, the Spirit of God was upon him. He slowly begins to disobey God all the way back in chapter 13. Again in chapter 15, God takes his spirit away from him and gives him an evil spirit. Saul is on a devolution. He is devolving, not evolving. He's getting worse. And now we're down toward the end of his life, and God won't answer him. Because Saul has left God, God has left him. And when he inquired, verse 6, Jehovah answered him not. Not because God was being mean, but he has an individual here who doesn't want to be with him, and so God is not going to be with Saul. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. There's several passages here in Chronicles that talk about different individuals who departed from God. And God departed from them. But look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 1. 2 Chronicles 15 verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Jehovah is with you, or you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And that's what's going on here. And there are going to be times when we need God. And He'll be there for us. But we need to be there for Him. We need to be worshiping Him on a regular basis. We need to be reading His Word. We need to be praying. We need to be following His Word. God's not a parachute where you pull the cord, you know, at the last minute, hey, I need some help. And Saul has been living this life of leaving God and acting in an ungodly way, not only toward God's Word in disobeying Him, chapter 13, chapter 15, but in his treatment of David. And now all of a sudden, I'm in a bind, I need some help. God's not there. So let's remember that. That we want God to hear us and we want help from God, but we need to be there for Him and obey Him. And that's a great principle that is laid down by this prophet. If you leave Him, He will leave you. Let's remember that and stay faithful to God. You know, when I learned from 1 Samuel chapter 28, I also learned that don't ever make a bad situation worse. And people will do that from time to time. They're in a bad situation and they just make it worse. Saul is in a situation here in which he's left God. And instead of repenting and coming back to God, and I believe through the rest of Scripture and all that we know about God, God would have immediately come back to Saul had he turned around and humbled himself and repented. But he's in this situation where he's left God. Now he's going to make a bad situation worse by going to this medium or this necromancer. Let's learn from that. that when we find ourselves in a bad situation, don't go out and make it worse. He went out and found an ungodly, unauthorized, condemned woman to turn to for help. We need to remember that. If we mess up, or when we mess up, return to God. Don't go farther away. In Matthew chapter 27, when Judas betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, he brought it back. He's on his way back. He brings it back. But then he stops short and he made a bad situation worse. He went out and killed himself. In contrast to that, Peter in Luke 22:32, when Peter denied the Lord, he turned around and came back to God. And it didn't take him long because on the day of Pentecost, 50 days later, he's right back in there serving the Lord. Judas made a bad situation worse. And we need to remember that. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5 about married couples who are having troubles. And we go through those things. I was talking with someone recently about marriage problems, and I just made the point, we all go through that. So Paul's talking about that, and he's saying that if that's a situation that is going on, you can separate yourselves for a little bit, give yourselves unto prayer and fasting, but he says you need to come back together again. Listen, that Satan tempt you not because of your lack of self-control. You're in this problem, but don't let it be a situation where the devil will make it worse. It could be a marriage issue. It could be something with our children. It could be a host of things where we're trying to work with something and deal with something. But don't make it worse by going farther away from God. Well, I'll just quit church. I'll just quit reading my Bible. I'll just quit praying. I'll just quit trying to get advice from good Christians. Don't make a bad situation worse. And that's what Saul did. He could have come back to God, but he chose to go even farther away. Find me a woman who is a medium. Let's remember that if there is a time when we mess up, like the prodigal son, we come back, not go farther away. You know, I also learned, if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 28, that this Saul goes to a woman, verse 7, in my version she's described as someone with a familiar spirit. The word that is used here is used as a necromancer, necro, death, someone who claims to speak to the dead. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 19 and verse 26. If you're making notes there, you'll see some other references there. But we'll just look at one of these. It was extremely condemned in Scripture, highly condemned, more than one place. Leviticus 19:26, "You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantments nor practice augury. You shall not round off the corners of your head," and so forth. Look at verse 31. "Turn you not unto them that have familiar spirits, nor unto wizards. Seek them not out to be defiled by them. I am Jehovah your God." Don't go to people who claim to be speaking to the dead and try to do that. It's brought up several times in the Old Testament. Saul knew that, and that's why he put him out of the land. It's condemned in the law of Moses. That's why he did that. Now, while we're at this point in the lesson, we're going to get back to some of our practical lessons in just a minute, but I want to divert our attention just for a moment to talk about this matter of this woman who appears to bring Samuel back from the dead. So let's read verses 8 through 14. Because that's a question, I want to divert our attention just a moment and answer this question. Verse 8. "Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment and went, he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, Divine unto me, I pray thee, by the familiar spirit, and bring me up whomsoever I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul has done, how he has cut off those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by Jehovah, saying, As Jehovah liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what seest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I see a God coming up out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a robe. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and did obeisance. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answers me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. And Samuel said, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing Jehovah is departed from thee, and is become thine adversary? And Jehovah hath done unto thee as he spake by me, and Jehovah hath rent the kingdom out of thy hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyed not the voice of Jehovah and didst not execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. This is back in chapter 15. Therefore hath Jehovah done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, Jehovah will deliver Israel also with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. In other words, you're going to die. Jehovah will deliver the host of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines. Now, I want to take just a moment this morning to deal with this, because it appears that if this is outlawed in the law of Moses, why does it appear that this woman is able to do this? It appears like she was able to do the very thing that God forbade. So there are four views on this. The first one is that Samuel actually came back, and the woman used the supernatural power of Satan or demonic forces to do this. If that's the case, why did the woman cry out? Make a note of that in your Bible. She cries out. If this is something that she had always done on a regular basis, every day she's bringing people up from the dead, and she's able to actually do it, why is it that she... Oh! She would be used to talking to all kinds of dead people. She does it all day long. She was not prepared for this. She did not bring Samuel back by the power of Satan. Why would she know that it was wrong and then be able to do it? Also, look at the message, and this is why I believe that it's not connected to Satan. A lot of people try to connect this to, well, she was actually able to do it through Satan. I don't believe so for this very reason. When you look at Samuel's response in verses 16 through 18, he speaks nothing but the truth. The devil's not going to do that. The devil is in the business of lying, not speaking the truth. The devil doesn't want the truth spoken. Everything that Samuel says is a rebuke of Saul, and it's repeating the truths of God that have been laid down since back in chapter 15. So this would not be Satan doing that. So that's the first view. The second view is that Samuel did not come back at all. That the woman just simply faked the whole thing using ventriloquism and other tricks of the trade. And when you go to a palm reader today, or a tarot card reader, or someone who's trying to read your future in a crystal ball, they've got all kinds of tricks and different things that they use to look like they're actually doing it. So is that what's going on here? No, Samuel did come back. He actually speaks to Saul. But how could this woman fake the wearing of a robe and the age of the man? And why did Saul bow down to something that wasn't even real in the first place? That just doesn't make sense. Saul has his wits about him. He knows what's going on. When he bows down in verse 14, it's an actual person that he's bowing down to. How could both the woman and Samuel both be talking to Saul? The whole account is worded in such a way that Samuel is a real person. This is not an impersonation. This is not the woman making her voice change and throwing it off in a way that kind of makes it look like somebody else is speaking from a different direction. Samuel spoke, and he also spoke a prophecy about Saul dying. And it came true. And look at verse 20. I believe that this clinches the matter. The person writing and recording 1 Samuel says, "Then Saul fell straightway his full length upon the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel." The words of Samuel, not the woman as a ventriloquist. Samuel is real. Samuel is speaking. The third view, very similar, is that some people believe that Samuel did not come back, but the whole thing was only some psychological thing of the mind inside Saul. How could the woman see Samuel if it was in the mind of Saul? Notice back in verse 12 and 13, the woman sees Samuel as well. If all of this is going on in the mind of Saul, how could she do that? Samuel is real. He's coming back from the dead. And that brings us to our fourth approach, and that is what I believe to be the biblical approach, and that is that God is bringing Samuel back. This is a genuine appearance. He's working a miracle in order to provide one last revelation to warn Saul in his life. The woman is shocked that it happens because she normally doesn't do that. She can't do that. When we die, we go to Hades. We don't come back over in the form of ghosts and talking to people. Luke 16, when we die, we go to Hades. We are in either torment or paradise, and we stay there. There are exceptions. This is one of them. And God allowed Samuel to come back and give one more warning to Saul. It wasn't done by the devil. It wasn't done by the power of the woman. It wasn't a fake. It was a real thing. And so Samuel actually came back. And he didn't speak from Hades. He came back to be right in front of them. Actually, not returning from the dead, that is the normal thing. They cannot come to us, David said, 2 Samuel 12:23. We will go to them. They do not come to us. So we have an exception to that in this story. And then, of course, this same type of thing happened, I believe, at the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 when Moses and Elijah appeared speaking to Jesus. So that's, I believe, the best way to handle that Samuel is coming back, warning Saul one last time and rebuking him for his disobedience. And in that, we learn some important lessons. Now, back to the text. Turn with me to verse 8. Let's learn another lesson this morning, and that is that who we turn to really shows our character, brethren. It shows who we really are. It shows about our character. Are we a spiritually minded person wanting to open the scriptures and learn from the Word of God, or are we a worldly person and we want to get our advice from the world? It shows our character. Look at verse 8. Notice two things about Saul. He disguises himself and he's creeping around at night trying to find this woman. Why has he disguised himself? He knows it's wrong. I've just cast these people out of the nation and now I'm trying to find one. It shows who we are, brethren, when we turn to the world, we're worldly. When we turn to God, we're godly. It's that simple. And we need a godly character. We need to be turning to God. We need to look for God-centered answers, not worldly-centered answers. It's not just fun
Well, I'm just having fun. It's not fun. It shows us to be ungodly when we turn to those things. In 2 Timothy 2, Paul says, stay away from fables and words of no profit, but study the Scriptures. Know the Scriptures. Stay away from fables, but know the Scriptures. It shows us who we really are. Let's always turn to God and His Word for answers. That's the character we want to display. And another lesson that we learn when Samuel comes back and is speaking, come down with me to verse 18. When Samuel is speaking to Saul, God's Word stays true even though years have passed. And Samuel is talking about something in verse 18 that had happened back in chapter 15. Where Saul did not utterly destroy the Amalekites like God had told him to do. That's about 15 years earlier. It's still the same 15 years later. God's Word does not change. Verse 18, because you obeyed not the voice of Jehovah and did not execute His fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath Jehovah done this thing unto thee this day. That was about 15 years. But it's still true. And let's remember that about the Word of God. We hold in our hands a New Testament, for example, that's about 2,000 years old. But it's still true. It doesn't matter the passing of time. And whether we're reading in our New Testaments about some reward and some promise and good thing, it will happen. Or if we're reading about some punishment, it will happen. It doesn't matter the passing of time. God's Word stays the same. The Word of the Lord, 1 Peter 2:24, abides forever. Grass withers and falls and fails. The flowers do as well. But God's Word always abides. And we need to remember that. And always be busy doing it. There are some people who won't open their Bible because they say it's old and out of date and archaic. And well, that's a book for your grandparents, you know. You don't need that. No, we need it. It's still the same. And we learn the lesson here that people in the world can be nice, but they're still human and they are the wrong source for guidance. We'll close with this point. Look at verses 20 through 25. We won't read it. You can scan down through there. The woman fixes a meal for Saul before he leaves. Okay. Well, that's nice. He goes on his way and then you read the rest of the story, chapter 29 and 30, and he dies at the end of the book in a battle with the Philistines, like Samuel had said. But before he leaves, she fixes him a meal. Okay. Well, that's nice. People in the world are nice, but they're still the wrong source. Verse 22, now therefore I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thy handmaid. Let me set a morsel of bread before thee and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, constrained him, and he hearkened unto their voice. Verse 24, the woman had a fatted calf. This is the best. This is a calf that is fattened up, giving him her best. She hastened and killed it, and she took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof, and she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. Okay. Kind of an odd ending, in my judgment. People can be nice, but they're still wrong. They're still the wrong source of authority. And let us not be deceived by that. There are people in social media that are nice, but they're the wrong source. There are people at work and school and bunches of places that are nice people. Friends. But they're not the Word of God. And we must always follow it. Do you remember in Matthew 16:23 when Jesus said that I must go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the chief priest and
be killed and on the third day raise again. And Peter said, not so, Lord, you don't need to do that. And Jesus said, paraphrasing, get behind me, Satan. You do not mind the things of God, but the things of man. Peter was a nice guy, but he was giving Jesus the wrong advice.
So let's not be taken in by that. This woman apparently was very hospitable. She had some nice food. I bet the meal tasted great. I love to eat. But she's a necromancer. She's a wizard. She tries this familiar spirit thing. She's condemned, and she was to be put out of the country and put to death. You can be nice, but still be the wrong source. And so I want to close. There's an interesting statement that is made. If you turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 10,
it outlines some of the life of Saul and then why he died. It's an interesting passage that says that Saul died for two reasons, not one, but for two.
He died, and the Lord was against him, because the word of Jehovah, which he kept not, that's 1 Samuel 15, maybe also talking about chapter 13, and also for that he asked counsel of one that had a familiar spirit. That's our lesson today. To inquire thereby, and inquire not of Jehovah. Therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David. What that tells us, brethren, is that, number one, we need to keep the word of God. And number two, we don't need to be going any other place to get our guidance. And so that's our encouragement this morning. Let's go out simply obeying the word of God. God is looking to see where we get our information, where we get our guidance, where we get our help. Let's keep our Bibles open, and that's why our elders encourage us on daily Bible reading. Keep our Bibles open all the time, because as sheep, we're going to listen only to the voice of the shepherd, Jesus. The voice of strangers, we don't know it. We're not going to listen to it. We're not going to follow it. If we can encourage you to make your life right this morning, if you need to come in some way responding to the gospel, if we can help you to be baptized into Christ or to come back to the Lord in some way, let's do that. Let's go out this week following what God wants, inquiring of the Lord and leaving the world behind. Don't listen to that. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?